This is News Talk 106.3 KMED, and you're waking up with the Bill Myers Show.
Perfect bumper song, When I Lie to You. I mean, obviously, Eric Peters, EPAutos.com, and let's see, he killed himself. Epstein did kill himself. There are no clients, nothing to look at. There's no list, and who the hell are you to even ask? Come on.
Yeah, he didn't even need Johnny Cochran, did he? It's demoralizing. You know, the last time, you know, people kind of, you know, when Trump said he was going to lock her up, and then he didn't, of course. And people let that pass, and they voted for him again because he was going to lock him up, wasn't he?
Mm-hmm.
And here we go again. And it's just, it's as the saying goes, it doesn't matter who you vote for, you end up with John McCain and Bibi Netanyahu, it looks like.
Yeah, well, what really surprised me about that when I watched the press conference yesterday, with President Trump getting very defensive, you know, about that whole thing with Epstein, and then you have the performative art from Pam Bondi, and you got Kash Patel. I don't think, was Kash in that one yesterday? I know that, you know, Dan Bongino.
No. This was a you're talking about the one that it was, I guess, about 2 or 3 weeks ago, where I think it was Patel and Bongino, and they were giving an interview to a reporter, and the subject came up, and they both looked like somebody was holding a gun to their head. You know, like that old picture from National Lampoon you might remember where the dog is on the cover with the revolver held to his head. That's
yes.
How they looked.
Yeah, yeah, I agree wholeheartedly. And I know Bongino, Patel, were both stand-up people, all right? Pam Bondi, I've had a little less faith in because I remember she's the one that that trumped up that whole thing going after George Zimmerman in the Trayvon Martin fiasco.
Yep.
And a lot of people forgot about that, really. And so, but still, the bottom line here is that to me, it was like looking at members of the Trump administration who had been threatened, honestly.
Yes.
And that's what bothers me more than anything else, when it is well known that Epstein, when even, what was his name, the former Miami attorney, U.S. attorney in Miami, his name is Alex, but he's the one that ended up telling the Trump administration when they were trying to get him confirmed that, well, you know, I was told to lay off Epstein because he was intelligence. He belonged to intelligence, right? So,
right.
Yeah, we know, and I think he was telling the absolute truth at that point. I was told, and that's why he ended up cutting him a pretty sweet deal, you know, at that time.
Yeah, I think what we've been privy to here is a sort of kind of look behind the curtain.
Yeah.
As far as who's actually running the government. And I think it's very clear it's not Trump, it's not Bondi, it's not Bongino. And that ought to worry people. You know, it's not just a matter of being disappointed with Trump. It's like, who is it that's running Trump?
And who is still running that system? And
yep.
And I still can't think, but help but think about the George Carlin thing. It's a big club, and you aren't in it. You know,
sure.
Yeah.
And you know, I've heard this theory that's been put forward by some of the Q people that you know, it's just so bad that they can't really tell us about it because it would just be too shocking to the system. You know, the normies can't take it, and that's the reason, supposedly.
Well, that is, you could try to use that as an excuse. But when it comes right down to it, there are a ton of very powerful perverts that appear to still be having leverage to make the government bend to its will. Just saying. All right.
Yeah, it sure seems to be the case.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the broader point here is that nobody at that level seems to ever be held accountable for anything. And that includes Fauci, leaving aside the Epstein list, and all the people who wreaked havoc on us for 4 years over the COVID stuff. None of these people ever is held responsible in any meaningful way, whereas you and I, you know, mm-hmm. we get caught going through a red light and we get nailed to the wall for that.
Oh, yeah. And the FBI can, of course, tell us every single January 6th insurrectionist to the details mm-hmm. about this. But, yeah, you know, and I'm going to talk with Kevin Starrett from Oregon Firearms about this, too, because he and I were talking about this last night, just like you and I are talking about this right now. And it seems obvious that, A, they're lying. B, I think they've been threatened. I really do.
Yeah.
And I think it's one of these things where, is it, you know, hey, listen, the assassination attempt was unsuccessful last time you were able to do that, but maybe next time it's a little bit better. You need to back off on this. It's above your pay grade, even for President Trump. And so he has to act very defensive about it. I'm not, you know, explaining or excusing the, you know, the lack of truth telling on this one. But I'm just saying I think I understand what's going on. Not that I know. This is pure conjecture.
I agree. I think your analysis is spot on. You know, the initial buildup that we got, particularly, you remember the scene of Bondi clutching the so-called dossier or whatever it was, very publicly. It's on her desk. They're looking at it. They're reviewing it. Very clearly telegraphing that, we're gonna be on this. They're gonna be indictments. They're gonna be arrests. And now it's just nothing. You know, like as if how could they not have known it was nothing? You know, they have armies of lawyers pouring through this.
Yep. Yeah, and that's why I was so disappointed. Many of my listeners are disappointed, not all, but just on cue, though, especially with the announcement that they're going to go after Brennan and Comey for potential criminal charges. I looked at this as, could this be the misdirection? Hey, you know, go ahead, see if we can forget about the, you know, the Epstein deal a little bit. Although, certainly Brennan and Comey deserve, to be.
Sure. Do you really think that either Brennan or Comey are ever going to be indicted for anything?
Of course not, but I'm saying though that this is the this is about changing the subject right now.
Yep.
And I understand why it might be going on. So a disappointing time, unfortunately. That's just the way it is. And just on cue, national talk show hosts are talking about, there are more important things to be talking about now and moving along. And I knew I was going to hear that too. And I'm waking up and I'm listening. We have to move along.
And as so, if on cue, which is interesting.
It
seems to always be how this works. It's as if somebody sent out a memo to every news outlet in the entire country, and they all have the talking points.
But you know what's the problem with the right wing, though, unlike the left wing? I think the right wing is not as good at lying and hiding it as the left wing is.
That's a very insightful comment that you made, and I agree with it because I think that perhaps they at least have a vestigial conscience.
Yeah, which is not unlike the left wing side of the aisle quite often. Okay.
Yep.
So let's set that aside. Nothing we're going to do. It's above our pay grade, but still, we had to make note. Okay.
Yep.
I want to talk about a car that you were reviewing the other day, and I wasn't even really familiar with this one, and it's the Toyota Crown Signia. And
yep.
What is the story? What did you think about that vehicle? Huh?
Well, let's give some background. First of all, there are two Crowns. One is a sedan, and then the one that I reviewed is kind of a crossover wagon. Both basically the same thing, just slightly different shaped, and both of them essentially replace the Avalon sedan, which used to be Toyota's top-of-the-line model. And one of the interesting things about this to me is that the Avalon, of course, used to come standard with a V6 engine, and you used to be able to get it, and this is as recently as 2.5 years ago in 2022, for about $36,000. Now the Crown, which is the replacement, starts around $41,000, and it comes with a four-cylinder hybrid drivetrain. Well, why does it do that? It gets better gas mileage. You're paying thousands of dollars more for the vehicle. So are you saving any money? And the answer is no. The reason is, of course, because of compliance pressures. The reason the V6 is gone is because it not so much that it used too much gas, but that it emitted too much gas, the dread gas carbon dioxide.
Yeah, so
the reason for all these
we're still is yeah we're still doing this. We're still under these apparatchiks that are the regulatory apparatchiks
for the hybrid. The reason you see hybrids everywhere now is because they can shut the engine off. So you take a smaller engine to begin with, and then you shut it off as often as possible. So that while it's shut off, it's not emitting any carbon dioxide. That's the sole reason for all of this. It's ridiculous to talk about how much money you're saving. Oh, because look, I get 40 miles per gallon, but I had to pay $45,000 for the car.
Yeah, there is an issue there. What was your overall impression, in spite of the fact that it has been neutered down from six to two cylinders have been sliced off for compliance?
Well, I want to be fair and kind to it to the extent that it's possible. And it, like most Toyota vehicles, it's a nice vehicle. It rides nicely. But when you give it a little gas, I'm not talking about flooring it, as you and I like to do, just a little gas because you want to get going. The sounds that emanate from that underpowered drivetrain, from that little four-cylinder engine that's trying desperately to move, wait for it, 4,200 pounds empty. You put my 200-pound self in, and now you got 4,400 pounds of vehicle to be pushed down the road, and it's just not a good sound.
Mm, okay. What about reliability on these? And I was reading an article, I forget where I caught this, that was actually talking about the reliability of vehicles going down right now because of a number of recent redesigns, and that Subaru was apparently on top, that the Subaru brand was on top because there has been less redesign. Could you confirm or deny what might be going on here?
That's
saying it because
true.
It is
safer with an older model. There are many 2025 models that are more or less the same as they were, say, back in 2021 or 2022. The older you can get, the unfortunately, the more reliable they are because they're simpler. You know, they have less electronics. Things have gotten completely out of hand with all the electronica that they're putting in the vehicles. And just as an aside, I was supposed to get the VW ID Buzz electric bus.
Oh, okay. Oh, no. Wait a minute. Okay, now you're lighting me up here, okay? Because here it is. I'm driving that 40-something-year-old bus, that old that old diesel Vanagon of mine still. And I was kind of wondering what this new iteration of the Volkswagen Camper was going to be like here. And what happened?
Well, I'm not getting it because it glitched out. I got a text from the delivery service that brings these vehicles to me, and they said they had to reschedule it because something, I don't know what, exactly happened to it, but it glitched out. It wasn't serviceable, so they couldn't get it to me. Now, as far as the rest...
What is it? The blue screen? Well, no, hold on, Eric. Mm-hmm. Are you trying to tell me that the new Volkswagen bus, the electric, what is it called, ID Buzz or what?
ID Buzz is the name they've
okay,
given
the ID
it, yeah.
Buzz. So what did the Buzz have the blue screen of death? Is that what happened?
Yes. Yes. And, you know, I can tell you, again, I test drive new cars every week, and lately it's not uncommon for some weird little bug to pop up. Now, most of the time they correct themselves, but I think to myself, holy cow, these are brand new vehicles, and not only are they brand new vehicles, the ones they send to me and other reporters, you know, they check them out because obviously they don't want any bad press.
Yeah, you don't want to, they don't want you getting a bum vehicle to write about for sure. Yeah.
Yeah, so I think to myself, well, what is this vehicle going to be like 3 or 4 years down the road, particularly after the warranty expires? And, you know, I don't think I'd want to be holding the keys to them because, again, they're putting so much complexity into these things. They're so intricate and delicate. Years down the road, you know, you're subjecting the thing to potholes and to rain and to heat and to freezing cold. Inevitably, anything that complicated, some little thing is going to go awry. And mind you, now everything's connected. It's not a discrete system. So one thing fails and potentially it causes various other things to fail. A lot of the controls in the new cars are integrated into this touchscreen, the whole touchscreen. So it goes dark. You lose everything. You lose your climate control. You lose your stereo. All sorts of things go dark.
Yeah. All right. So... no ID Buzz to review then, but you know, but still, this is going to what we were talking about then with the complexity of some of these newer vehicles. So, what you're suggesting in some ways is that if you can go to a, if you're looking for a new car, if you can find a new car that hasn't been redesigned very recently, that might be actually a better move for you at this point in time.
Oh, absolutely. You know, it's already a little too late to do this, but. Last year, when you could still get the last generation Toyota Tacoma, that was one of the best pickups on the road. That was a vehicle that you could expect to go 250,000 plus miles, last you 20 years before anything major fell apart, because it's just a simple truck that they've been making pretty much the same way for a long, long time. Now, of course, it has a turbo hybrid drivetrain, and the new one is, yeah, they tout how much more powerful it is, and it's got a bigger touchscreen and all this other stuff, but at the end of the day, how's that going to be in 10 years from now?
Are they being rushed to the market because of the compliance rules?
Well, yeah, because the compliance pressure keeps ratcheting up. And, you know, they're having to retire prematurely drivetrains that in the past they would have kept going for a long, long time.
Ah, okay.
Good example of that.
Yeah.
Really good example is the Toyota V6. That is one of the best engines that has come out in the last 50 years, the 3.5-liter V6. There's zero reason for retiring that engine.
One of the most bulletproof vehicles ever made, really. I mean, that engine.
Yep.
Just, I mean... easily a 300,000 to 400,000 mile engine with proper care, right?
Yeah, and so, you know, their tooling and R&D costs and everything else are already paid off. They could just continue to make that engine and make good money on it, and people would be happy because it was a great engine. Well, it's gone, and the only reason it's gone is because it can't be made compliant anymore. So they've had to invest a ton of money developing an entirely new type of engine and system, a drivetrain system, a hybrid system, to replace it at a faster pace than they would have done in, say, the past 20 years ago.
Yeah, we're talking about vehicles this morning and the complexity of the later vehicles. Are there any suggestions that you would bring to bear here of vehicles that are available right now that are new but are not new, as you and I have been talking about here, because a lot of stuff has been rushed to market for compliance purposes?
Yeah, unfortunately, there aren't many left. We're kind of right now in the middle of this great transition. If we had this conversation 2 years ago, there are many examples. You could have gotten something like the Dodge Charger that had been essentially the same vehicle for more than 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
Also vehicles like the Toyota Tacoma that we've been talking about, and the Camry, and there are a bunch of other ones that were pretty much the same. You know, they maybe made some cosmetic tweaks here and there over the years, but fundamentally, mechanically, they were pretty much the same. Now time has caught up with us, unfortunately, and I'd have to go look. There are probably still a couple that would fall into the category. But by this time next year, and certainly the year after, forget about it. It's all over.
One of my biggest concerns, Eric, when I, in fact, I have been looking at my PT Cruiser, which is very long in the tooth at this point, mm-hmm. 16 years old. And I think it would cost more for me to repaint the the clear coat and on it than the vehicle's worth, right? Although it's still running okay. So I was out looking at cars just for having fun over the weekend.
Mm-hmm.
And I almost couldn't find anything without a CVT, a continually
yes.
variable transmission. And I'm hearing horror stories from the transmission rebuilders about this.
Yep.
Is there anything out there that has an actual conventional transmission that could go a couple hundred thousand miles that you're aware of right
well,
now?
Well, not so much anymore, because now the regular conventional automatics with planetary gear sets have typically 8, 9, even 10 speeds, and they, too, are far more complicated than they were in the past. I think, I'm not sure about this, but I think Nissan still offers the Versa with a 5 or 6-speed manual. You'll have to look into that, or I'll email you later and let you know, but I think you can still get a manual in the Versa.
Yeah, because a lot of times it's not even whether or not the engine will blow up on you early. It's what will happen to the transmission. And some people have said, well, you just have to make sure and service it a lot more than you would otherwise, your CVT.
Well, that's great, except some of them aren't realistically serviceable. They're sealed and filled for life.
Yeah, and that's why I wanted to ask that question, and thank you for at least answering. I'm talking with Eric Peters this morning. You have a question for him or a comment? Happy to take it. This is what Wheels Up Wednesday is all about, a little bit of politics, and now we're into actually keeping you on the road in style and, more importantly, reliability. This is the Bill Myers Show. More with Eric next.
This is the Bill Myers Show on 106.3 KMED. Call Bill now, 541-770-5633. That's 770-KMED.
Yeah, we've been talking about transportation this morning, some of the, looking for the best way to maybe avoid the complexity. Is there still a way that you can get a reliable vehicle right now? And some of the journalism is indicating it's been a problem right now. And that's an issue. And where do we go? Eric Peters with me, epautos.com. Peter is here. Peter, you have a question about an Acura. Go right ahead. You're on with Eric.
Okay, so I need some good advice from, I presume, a couple of fathers also.
Okay.
I've got a 20-something-year-old daughter who I've managed to get into a, I think it's like an 03 Acura that's been in the family for its whole life, bouncing around from people,
mm-hmm.
130,000 miles, and she wants to drive across the country and then doesn't want the burden of a vehicle in New York City, and so she wants to sell it. And I'm going, oh, no, don't sell it. You won't get anything for it.
No, I wouldn't think so. What was your question about it, though?
Hmm? My question is whether or not you think that's as crazy as I do to sell it.
I absolutely do. And if it were me, what I would do is fix your daughter up with a good rental so that she can drive across the country in somebody else's car and she can deposit it in New York when she gets there and hold on to that Acura, which has low miles. That's nothing for that car. You could put another 100,000 miles on that thing, and the value of it is going to go up, not down.
Yeah, yeah. And is that to rent a car or something? That's like from Enterprise?
Anybody. Yeah, look, especially if you've got the luxury of time, you don't have to have the car tomorrow. Look and see what their rates are. See what it would cost to rent the car from wherever you guys are. Typically, you can rent them in one place and just drop them off at the other. In other words, you don't have to bring them back and forth. People do that all the time. And it does make sense for her to do that because you don't want a car in New York City unless you're rich because of the cost of keeping one.
Right.
She's right about that.
Yeah.
That's a smart move.
Right.
Okay, sounds great. And I hope you keep that Acura because, like I said, with good car, you've had it in the family, you know how it's been treated. And that's an investment at this point in time. Acura, very good car. Thanks for the call there, Peter. Let me go to James. James is in Selma. James, you had a question for Eric. Go ahead.
Yeah, Eric, I'm wondering test driving a car, we got Hayes Hill here, which is a pretty steep hill, and I usually like floor a brand new car that I'm trying out. I usually floor it and try to make it up the hill and see how fast it goes up the hill. But I'm wondering, what steps do you do with trying out a car, and how fast do you take it? Do you punch it off the line, and do you like take it around quick corners? And then does the car snitch on you when you do, when you're test driving it, how fast you're going and
that's
whatnot?
That's a really interesting question, if the car snitches on you, Eric. What do you say?
Yeah, you know, I have thought about that, and I would imagine that the answer is yes. I think that they do keep track of what happens to the vehicles that they loan to journalists. But, you know, I think it's understood, you know, wink, wink, nod, nod. They know perfectly well that we're going to drive them fast, that we're sometimes not going to hew exactly to the legalities. And the thing is, as long as you don't get caught, you know, by the law, I mean, or as long as you don't cause a problem, which so far, knock on wood, I never have, I don't think they particularly care. But of course, yes, of course I'm going to floor it. Yes, of course I'm going to drive the thing fast around the curves. Otherwise, what's the point? Might as well just get an Uber and tell you how nice and comfy the back seat was.
Well, how about that, James? Is that,
yeah.
That's your question?
Yeah, that's it.
I appreciate the call. Thanks for checking in. Let me go to another line here. Good morning. You're on with Eric Peters. Who's this?
This is Dale.
Hi, Dale. What are you thinking?
Eric, is any of the manufacturers doing anything to address the overheating problem of a car sitting in the sun?
Yes. Let me give you some examples. I'm pretty sure the current Prius has a system whereby there's actually a fan, a solar-powered fan, that will come on and try to recirculate the air if the interior of the car gets really hot. There are not many cars that have it, but there are some that do. Now, I think the more interesting thing that you bring up here is that the AC systems that are in use now in new cars are not as good as they were in the past. It takes them longer to cool down, and it's harder for them to maintain a cool temperature. If you're of the vintage of Bill and myself, you can remember when GM air conditioners, for example, that used Freon back in the 70s, they were cold enough to turn your car into a meat locker. In some cases, you could even see frost on the vents.
Yeah, so we're not getting that anymore. Does that work for you, caller? Is that what you were looking
for?
Yeah,
because I'm buying aftermarket sun shields and little roll the window down fan kind of things. And I thought insulating the roof and painting the top white or something. I don't know.
Huh. Painting it white. Well, painting it white would certainly help. It'd be a more reflective, or at least or more heat reflecting kind of
color.
Yeah,
you know, tinting the windows helps. But, of course, then you have to deal sometimes with legalities depending on the state where you live. But if you go to Florida, for example, you'll see that a lot of the windows there are so dark you can't even see inside them. But if you do that in other states, you risk getting pulled over by a cop and given a ticket for, you know, too much tint.
Yeah, of course, I have the low-tech, you know, stupid foam foil thing. And
right,
I just,
right. Yep.
Yeah, I just can't help that one. Hey,
thank you.
Good luck on that one. Appreciate the call. Yeah. So what were you going to review next week, Eric?
You know? I'm not sure, because the ID Buzz was supposed to show up today. They told me they were going to sub something in, so it's going to be a surprise review. I have no idea what they're going to be
bringing. Tiguan, or what do they call that, the Tiggy or whatever?
The Tiggy, maybe, yeah, because it's new. I don't know. But, you know, to get back to that ID Buzz, I wanted to mention, because, you know, you're a guy who's got an old van.
Yeah.
Back in the day, those old vans, the reason they were so esteemed by hippies, as the stereotype had it, was because they were cheap. They were not only cheap to buy, but they were very cheap to maintain, because it was basically Beetle under things, air-cooled four-cylinder engine, totally simple.
Yep.
This new thing is like, it starts at, I think, $54,000. Starts.
Yeah. And most of them, as I have seen, when they're coming equipped there from Volkswagen, are about $70,000, aren't they?
Yeah. So, you know, they're for aging old hippies who have cashed in their 401ks and have the money to indulge in a toy. That's what it is now.
Okay, so the old hippie ended up first being against the man, then they became the man, and then after selling out their stock options from having been the man, now they can go revisit the hippie time. It's great.
Oh, yeah, and the fundamental incongruity here, as I see it, is that Volkswagen literally means people's car, and the brand, the whole point of Volkswagen, was to sell affordable cars in great numbers to lots of people. And by definition, they're not going to sell many $50,000, $70,000 EVs or otherwise, because most people can't afford to spend $50,000 or $70,000 on a car.
And speaking of the people's car, I wanted to talk with you briefly here. I want to send people to epautos.com, because here in Southern Oregon, we have a governor, past governor, that has ordered the climate-friendly, equitable community. In other words, stack and pack, you will own nothing and be happy kind of things. That's the envision for the urban areas, especially here. And I've often wondered, what does this look like taken to its logical conclusion? And you say that there is a city right now which has almost completed this transition. And which one is it?
Well, there are actually more than one, but there's another one joining the crowd, and that is Berlin in Germany, where there's a referendum that's about to be voted on that if it passes, will essentially make the city what they call auto-free, meaning car-free. Essentially, you can't have a car within a radius of the downtown area, which essentially means that everybody, except, of course, the special people, will have to either walk, bicycle, or take the bus to get anywhere. And that, of course, will mean they're stuck within that urban area because it's just too much hassle as a practical matter to get farther than about 15 minutes away from the downtown area.
Are the only people who are allowed to drive in there government people in downtown?
Well, of course. Berlin? Of course, there are literally exceptions for that. Government people are always those exceptions, aren't they? Isn't that curious?
Well, yeah, you have to understand their time is much more valuable than people like you and me and the listeners, you know, that kind of thing.
Yeah, well, that's why I call them the important people. They have important things to do, and they can't be held up by any of these gritty concerns. It's only us, the proletariat, that has to make sacrifices.
And get on the bus, prole, right? Interesting. So it's called, how do you pronounce that German term? Nick?
Auto is German for car, auto. So Frei, and Frei, F-R-I-E, is free in German. So car free, that's what that word means.
Okay, nicht fahren, is that the article, though?
Don't go, yeah. Fahren is to drive in German. So
oh, got it.
No, so oh. No drive.
All right, up on.
And I, and you know, it's, we can laugh at the Germans all we want to, but this stuff is spreading like metastatic cancer. It's already afflicting Paris and London. You know, they apply exorbitant fines on people for driving into London, for example, and you're not even allowed if you have certain non-compliant vehicles that were made before such and such a date. And this sort of thing is going to come to the United States if we don't stomp it with both feet.
Thank you very much. And that's what EP Autos is all about, making sure that you stomp out these kind of scourges, all right? EPAutos.com. Eric, have a great week in spite of all the weirdness that's been going on. We'll talk next week, okay?
Thanks. Likewise, Bill. Thank you.